Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Hello and welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And today on the show, we have a very special guest, my boss, Constance Kello. She is the founder of Namaste Publishing. And as you know, Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. And if you're not aware, Namaste Publishing is actually the first company that published Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. So Constance is here to talk about how that came into being and her relationship with Eckhart Tolle. Hi, Constance.
Hi, Marie. So wonderful to talk to you on Namaste Radio.
Yay! I'm so excited to have you on the show. So Constance, how it was back in when, the 90s, that you met up with Eckhart for the first time?
Yes, it was actually 1996. When I first met Eckhart, and The Power of Now came out in late 97. So it's a fascinating story, and if anyone wants to go to the web and put in the search engine Mustard Seed, they'll probably get more details of how Eckhart and I met and how The Power of Now came into being and the subsequent books, Stillness Speaks, A New Earth, that Namaste Publishing worked on and put out for Eckhart. So, 96. I go back. I'm in my second profession, a management consultant, working out of my downtown office, happily breezing along, and morning, I wake up and there's this kind of malaise or angst, and at first I can't identify it, but in due time I become aware of what it's about, and I had some surprising need emerge within me to meditate in a sangha. I wanted to reach out and be part of a spiritual community, and for me that was really quite startling, because up until that point, as an adult, after I'd left the Catholic Church and its practices, I was very alone in my spiritual practice. I loved it. I loved my spiritual reading time, my sitting in stillness time, meditation. So when this urge came over me to seek out a spiritual community, I was just witnessing it with surprise. And one day in our boardroom downtown, after a business meeting, two of my colleagues and I were just sitting around. The business had been tended to, and we were just chatting, just very casually about, you know, personal things, incidentals, and so forth. And it was at that time I brought forward to my colleagues, one John Kuchenthal, that I had this really funny need to meditate or join a spiritual community. It came out of my mouth, I expressed it, and John's response was, "Oh, Connie, isn't that interesting? Because I just met a man who arrived here from England who leads those kinds of sessions." And I looked at John and laughed, and I said, "Well, I can't believe it. Do you think he would join us in meditation in our offices?" And John said, I have no idea, Connie, but I'll give it a chance. And John did his work. Eckhart responded immediately. And I got the word out to some of my colleagues and close friends who were working in the downtown area, saying that if they wanted to join for meditation at 5 o'clock next Wednesday, to do that. And they did. I don't know how many showed up, maybe 6, 8 that first time. And shortly after 5 o'clock, you know, we had all kind of found a place to get comfortable. And there was a gentle knock on the door. And I went to open it, and there was Eckhart Tolle. Nothing I expected. I don't know what I expected, like somebody wearing a turban or robes or something. But he was a smallish, very sweet, self-effacing, gentle man. And I welcomed him in, and he started to teach. It's like, what do you call this? You call it sacred sitting? Do you call it meditation? I don't think there's a label that one can put on the kind of experience one has when you're in the presence of a spiritual master. And so when Eckhart started to teach, probably 5 minutes into his sharing, I just recognized him for this profound and timely spiritual teacher, especially for the West. I don't know why I still say that today, but I think it's because Eckhart is able to take pure jnana, pure spiritual truth, and put it in an idiom for our times. So I go back to that first encounter, and Eckhart talks, and as he talks, as he always says, the words are just almost nothing. They're just background. What's really happening is that we are going into a state of inner stillness or presence. So the words that came out of his mouth were just beyond richness. And yet the experience that he took us into in terms of a state of presence was the most delicious experience I had had to that point. Now, each week we would then meet Wednesday, just after 5, and each week Eckhart would take us deeper into the teaching, deeper into a state of stillness and presence. And when I look back at those days, I remember that from week to week, I noticed a shift in my awareness, in my sense of peace, and I even think that we started looking different. I would look at one of my girlfriends of many years and see her face look softer, her eyes look brighter. People said the same thing to me. So it was so powerful, Eckhart's presence and his teaching, that we just moved very quickly into a place of presence. So we were so blessed. If anyone has, you know, had the opportunity to sit with Eckhart in small community or even a large audience, they know the power of his presence to engage you in that state. And I remember telling Eckhart, you know, I just don't understand. How can you know, this happen so quickly? How can I start going into my essence and sense my beingness so quickly? And he said, well, it's like a little flame that when it's ready, it will just jump and join the bigger flame. So we were very, very blessed. Now, how did all of this lead to my publishing The Power of Now? Well, over time, Marie, the year went and summer came along and we were ready to disperse. You know, everybody goes off, you know, in all directions during the summer, and we thought rather than try and limp along with a fragmented community, we would just stop and meet again in the fall. I had heard that Eckhart was writing a book over the former weeks, and I just thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? He's going to be sharing his teaching, and through his words, the presence that he carries to so many others. And that was it. I never really thought about it after that until it was, I believe, in August. And one of my colleagues and myself highly regretted that we had, suspended our getting together during the summer because we really, really missed our sitting time with Eckhart. So we did a bold thing. We called him and asked if he would make time for us to sit with him over in North Vancouver where he lived at that time. And Eckhart graciously said, of course. So David Hughes and myself went over one afternoon, and we sat with Eckhart. And at the end, we started, just kind of talking about everything and commenting on whatever. And suddenly Eckhart said, "Will you be my publisher?" And I looked at David. I don't know who was more surprised. And I looked at Eckhart and I said, "Publisher?" And he said, "Yes, you know I'm writing a book." And I said, "Yes, I've heard." He said, "Will you be my publisher?" And I said, "Well, I have to think about it." And I'm just, it was not about thinking at all, of course, so that's so funny. So I left with my colleague, and we were in one car, and we were coming back across the Lionsgate Bridge, if you're familiar with Vancouver. And so once I left Eckhart's place, that egoic vacillation came in. Oh, my goodness, I haven't published a book. I wouldn't know where to begin. What if I fail Eckhart? What if I can't get the money to do this? But that was over very quickly. By the time we crossed the Lionsgate Bridge, I had crossed the bridge. And, of course, I would be there to publish his book. So there's no question about it. Eckhart and I were brought together by life, by consciousness, to do this work. And it's part of my soul mission, again, no doubt about it. So I stepped up, said yes, and it's been the beginning of the most joyful years of my life.
Beautiful. And you and Eckhart are still friends now. I know you just spoke with him, so.
Oh, yes. Well, you don't come together in that kind of oneness and work, with noble intention on such a thing and not establish a deep, deep bond, which goes beyond, of course, my relationship with Eckhart as his publisher. It's partly related to my relationship to him as I would call him my core teacher, my root teacher, along with Course in Miracles. But also this deep, sweet friendship we have. He's my dear, dear friend. I love him to bits. So, yes, I've just been privileged to work with Eckhart as his publisher on all of the books over these years and watch how life has taken them forward. Eckhart and I would go into grateful giggles when we heard how many people were reading and what the book was doing and where it was going, because our part was to put it out into the world. We're talking now about the power of now. And it was like, okay, we did our part, there it is out into the world. And then the book takes on a life of its own. And so we just witnessed, we sat back in grateful witnessing of how many people were ready for the book and how quickly the power of now spread by word of mouth. And I think that's when we knew that there was a real power behind this book and that it would move quickly and broadly into our world when people were calling and ordering by the box for Christmas to give to all of their friends. So when we put out the power of now, I was very, very adamant, insistent actually, contrary to some of the people's opinions around me at the time, I was insistent that we would not advertise the book, that the book had to go out with a process as pure as the content itself. And it did. It moved, easily and effortlessly to the world, although, we did the work. I mean, life just said, this is next, this is next, this is next. But it was all joyful and very, very easy. And we defied publishing history, you know, out of this little mustard seed publishing house in Vancouver, never before published. I created the form of Namaste Publishing as a vehicle through which we could get Eckhart's first book, The Power of Now, out into the world. And it's just, it kind of broke all of the industry rules and standards, and that made us giggle, too.
And so,
we didn't know what we were getting in for, and that's great. We just, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We just went for it. We just knew this teaching should be out into the world.
Wonderful. And so I imagine, I know that you first started out with just a small amount of copies. How many copies did you first print?
Good question, Marie. The first print one was 3,000 books, and I was distributing them myself, like personally, until we got a Canadian distributor. And when we had a Canadian distributor, then I was personally sending them down to the States. Sometimes the orders came in and were piled so high outside of my home for UPS to pick up, it looked like a small version of the Wall of China. So over the years, I mean, we in Canada, the Canadian, The Power of Now, went into 15 printings. The 15th printing was in 2003, and I had cause just recently to query how many books we actually sold in Canada, 80,000, which, you know, is pretty good. But once it got into the hands of New World Library, whom I licensed the book to publish and get out throughout North America, the sales increased substantially, of course, and we just had to let the book go. It came, you know, you just get it out there in whichever form, and we were not distributors. That didn't really interest us. If somebody could take over that part, it would be wonderful and get the book out more broadly. New World Library saw the same things I did in Eckhart's teachings, so they were honoring and very professional hands to give this book to. So that's, it's very interesting. And then, of course, Oprah started reading it, and in very small ways initially, kind of mentioning it in her magazine, and then someplace else in her talks, and then when she held it up on her, it's a November kind of program, I think it's the November before the American Thanksgiving weekend, when she kind of shares her favorite things of the year. Well, she held out two books at the very end. One by Marianne Williamson. I think it was something about needing grace in one's life. And the other was The Power of Now. And we watched it go from, it was already doing well, Amazon.com, maybe, I don't know, 400, 180, I can't even remember, but we literally watched it move to number one on Amazon.com by the time that program ended. So she's been a wonderful boon for consciousness. She's, I think, a major pillar for consciousness on the planet, and has brought forward not only the power of now, but also, as you know, a new earth in a huge way with her 10-week webinar series on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, she loves Eckhart, too, I'm sure.
Pardon?
I know you love Eckhart. I'm sure Oprah, they seem to be very close as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've only seen them together once, but it was sweet. And yeah, there's such an honoring again and mutual admiration society there. Eckhart always really admired Oprah, and he made it known to me and to, you know, some other people in kind of this industry that should Oprah ask for an interview, he would definitely be available. Should Oprah request, yes, he could see the work she was doing in the world. And so how beautiful that you know, she called him one day and spoke with him directly and shared with him how much his teachings meant to her and what her idea was in terms of doing a webinar with him over 10 weeks on a new earth. So very sweet, very fitting. We love her, of course. But again, the role that she has played in bringing forward such conscious material into the world, and not just Eckhart's, but other books and other healing modalities and awarenesses. So, yes, consciousness is working very, very 24/7 through Oprah.
Beautiful. And so now, namaste. Constance, before we talk more about the other books by Eckhart Tolle and the other books through Namaste Publishing, I want to ask a little bit more about Eckhart. With so many spiritual teachers who are out there and successful, I guess, if you want to use that word, as teachers, they're very big personalities, charismatic, and Eckhart is different than that. Why do you think he's very quiet and soft-spoken, yet still so powerful? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Eckhart, since the time I met him, and he already had, you know, awoken to reality and what was egoic and created a false reality versus what came from presence and created a truth, essence or reality. Eckhart's authentic. He is who he is. He doesn't want followers, and I think because of that, that's what one of the reasons why he has so many, because he is authentic. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself over and over and over again. It was, no, if you interview Eckhart, Eckhart wants you to talk about the teaching. It's like the Zen master saying, look at the moon, don't look at the finger pointing to the moon. So Eckhart has always been self-effacing. He's never wanted to draw attention to himself. He has been willing to speak and to teach to draw attention to the teaching. So he's coming from a very noble service position, you know, in terms of caring for mankind. He hasn't really changed. Like, people ask me, wow, Connie, it's just, look at what's happened, how Eckhart came from being an unknown, and now he's lauded to be one of, if not the main, you know, spiritual teacher on the planet. Imagine, you know, he must have changed. And my answer is, from my own experience, no, he hasn't. His life situation has changed. He now has a public profile. He's lost his anonymity, which has been a real sacrifice to him. He is more worldly, not in the sense of being lost in the world, but just knowing more about the ways of the world, because he has traveled so extensively, because he has met so many people in different situations, taught, you know, in so many countries with different cultures and so forth. So he's more aware of the world now than when I met him, for sure. His life is more complex. That is sure, for sure. When I met him, everything was so simple. He lived a very zen-like, very slow-paced life. And so, of course, that has changed. He now is married, and he has, through his marriage, a daughter and a son-in-law. He has a doggy, Maya, whom we all love. So his life situation has changed, but and his income status has changed, but he hasn't. And, you know, part of it is we never set out to do this work for financial gain. We were always motivated by just being a vehicle through which consciousness could express into the world, and to be used well for that purpose. And the financial gain that came, is it significant? Yes, it is. Was it our motivating factor? No. Is it now? No. I keep saying to Eckhart, it's just the fruit. It's the fruit of our work. It's one of the many, many fruits. And to be enjoyed and to be grateful for, like all the other fruits we continue to receive. So Eckhart hasn't changed. The Eckhart that will come over tomorrow and meet with me is the Eckhart that I met when I opened the door back in 1996 to invite him to do the first Sangha with us. He's gentle. He listens. He's got a tremendous sense of humor. He's got a big joy body, and so we kibitz a lot, and the way we converse with each other is the same today as then. We may talk about, you know, we're going to have to talk about business issues and have make some decisions and all of that, but even you know, in that kind of conversation, the way we communicate is the same as from day one.
Wonderful. And Constance, I mean, Eckhart, I don't know if he sees himself this way, but the world sees him as a celebrity. And even if Eckhart hasn't changed himself, I think that when we look at celebrity and the phenomena mm-hmm. of celebrity, mm-hmm. we expect an egoic response. Mm-hmm. We expect them to present mm-hmm. themselves in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're comfortable talking about this, but I would imagine that that's difficult for Eckhart.
Well, it is. Eckhart does not consider himself a celebrity. He does not want celebrity status. He does not want a worldly profile. Eckhart's inclination is to is to almost a hermetic style of life. He has given up a lot by accepting to continue to be public in his teaching because he sacrificed that anonymity. And that's a huge thing to give up. He does not want the attraction, just the opposite. As a matter of fact, it's so cute, just a kind of a very personal and local story. Eckhart doesn't live far from me, and he often goes to Starbucks to get, it used to be lattes, but I think now it's a certain kind of tea. And so he doesn't want to be recognized, and he wears different baseball caps. And I met a woman there, and she said, oh, she said, Constance, she said, Eckhart's so funny. He tries to hide, and because he's trying to hide, we can't, we notice him even more. I laugh and say, I'll get you a real wig, but he says, oh, no, no, no. So people will have their expectations. Their expectations and their perceptions will, in large part, be based on their past experiences with spiritual teachers and public persona and profiled people. And some of it will be projection, kind of based on their conditioned thinking and beliefs, what they expect to see in somebody like Eckhart. I can just only, you know, talk from my own experience, which is the only valid thing to speak from. And Eckhart is Eckhart. He is, and to the point where, it's really interesting, Marie, because to the point where there's very little personality about Eckhart. He doesn't, you know, doesn't draw attention to himself. He doesn't talk about drama. He doesn't, you know, so there's this consistency in terms of how I am with him and how we share and talk. There's this, he hasn't changed. That's all I can say. Not the Eckhart, his essence, who he is, has not changed.
So, Constance, Eckhart hasn't changed, but how have you changed in the time that you've had a relationship with Eckhart?
Well, that would be a good question to ask Eckhart. That would really be a good question. I'd love to hear Eckhart's answer to that. Now I'm thinking what Eckhart would say instead of what I'm observing about myself. Okay, I'll switch back to how have I changed? Again, not substantially. My motivations for doing this work are exactly the same. The joy I get from doing this work, when it is that kind of creative work, making things happen, getting this out into the world, doing things to, you know, assist authors to reach more people, all of that is joy work. I have to admit, though, that, you know, over these last number of years, I am finding kind of the day-to-day operational details of being head of Namaste Publishing more wearing, grinding. It's routine and it's never ending. So, but, you know, there's always that part, that element in the work you do. So in terms of my personal life, life goes on. Every family has its dynamics and things happening there, their stories individually and collectively. We've grown in terms of, okay, you're asking how I have changed, so I've got to get myself dissociated from Namaste Publishing for a minute. How I have changed. I guess I have gone deeper into my spiritual practice and life, and I do I have evidence of growth and of new awarenesses and of a diminishing or almost non-existence at time of the pain body. I too, like Eckhart, have enjoyed, you know, the financial benefits of our work, so I have a greater sense of ease in being able to do things and not worry about the money, being in a position to be able to help others when, you know, finances is a solution, a temporary solution, that kind of thing. That brings me a lot of satisfaction. My husband and I have grown together in this work over the years and in our oneness, I guess, which is a precious, precious gift to both of us. Well, of course, we've expanded our work in the world, and that it required kind of a knock on the head for me to publish another author because I only set out, you know, to publish Eckhart. And yet there came a time when I could see, oh, my goodness, there's so much other stuff that is tangential or supports the power of now or will help people get into Eckhart's teaching or is an outgrowth of it or a complement to it. And that's why when I say you look at Namaste Publishing's books, and if people started reading them from the first book that was put out to the second to the third in that kind of chronology, I would hope that they would see that there is a plan behind this, that the books what we put out were meant to form a mosaic, each one to add to the picture. For example, in The Power of Now, I think one of Eckhart's most powerful and helpful and original contributions is his bringing awareness to the pain body, what it is, why we all have a pain body, that there's not only the individual pain body, but there's the collective pain body and so forth. And what to do when we are triggered and that repressed emotional pain from the past comes up and how to be with it in a state of presence because nothing can withstand the power of your presence. So when this uncomfortable energy called the pain body is triggered and a piece of it comes up for release, the natural instinct is to repress it again, to run from it. So Eckhart tells us in his teachings, no, the pain body must be released so you are able to go on and hold more presence. And so that contribution was fantastic. And we get so many people who write us and email us and tell us about how their pain bodies, you know, have been lessened or aren't there anymore, or fears they carried around for most of their lives are just dissipated, you know, through that power of presence. So I got a phone call from somebody from South Africa, and his name is Michael Brown. And I listened to him, and I thought, oh, my God, he had a manuscript. He had just completed it. He told me what it was about. And I thought, oh, my goodness, Eckhart gives us the what and the why of the pain body and a practice of presence in how to deal with it. But Michael's contribution is a full kind of process of an enlightened process of how to rid ourselves of it. And so it was for that reason that I recognized the presence process for what it was, number one, and that I had to publish it, number two. And that book is doing amazingly well in the world as well. And the reports we get back from readers, people who've done the process, miraculous. So there's a method to putting out books, and we get so many manuscripts, Maria, as you can imagine. We're not accepting any more at this time because we just can't take any more on for the next while. But the manuscripts that I published, they all kind of came through in a different way. I never set out to publish any of them. I was contacted. So I take that as kind of a sign from life to kind of listen up when that happens. So I had to put the presence process to the test. I couldn't publish it until I had done it, and it's a 10-week process. And never met Michael Brown until probably 2 years after the book was out into the world. That's how we can work with one another these days with the new technologies.
And so, Constance, there's been so many developments with Namaste Publishing, and, I mean, there was a new Earth, and Eckhart has been creating new books, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about the process of how Eckhart writes and how do you work with Eckhart when he is writing a book.
Well, the power of now, there was Eckhart had already done some writing. I can't remember how much he had done and whether, you know, we integrated that or we worked it. But when I was working with Eckhart on The Power of Now, and again, this is such a sweet, beautiful story, Eckhart lived in an apartment on the edge of downtown Vancouver, and my husband was practicing law downtown, and he made available once a week, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, one little boardroom. It only sat, you know, six or eight people, and they had so many boardrooms, it was always available for us when we needed it. And I would meet Eckhart there, and we would basically go over what he had written. And I remember it coming so purely and so quickly during that time that we would meet each week, and my goodness, there was another chapter and then another chapter. But we worked very, very closely. In terms of my role with Eckhart, firstly, let me say that I think Eckhart is probably the best communicator that I have encountered in my experience. And not only in the written form, But anyone who has taken in a live teaching or watched, you know, a DVD or listened to one of his teachings in CD format will attest to the fact that he's also an eloquent teacher in the voice. Beyond that, he's also an amazing communicator through his body language and his facial expressions. And again, anyone who's seen Eckhart will know how he communicates so much through his eyes, through a smile, through a gesture, through a movement of his body. Sometimes when he uses his body to outpicture the insanity of the ego, he has the whole crowd roaring. You'd almost think there was a comedian up there on stage. In terms of helping Eckhart write, he is an expert writer. But was I of assistance? Yes. First of all, let's go to the publishing part in terms of what a publisher does. I do all of that. And when it comes to working with Eckhart, it's a very organic process. It's not mental. Sometimes Eckhart wouldn't meet me on a Wednesday downtown because nothing had really come through. So Eckhart opens, you know, to receiving the teaching. And he has such a clarity. And because he teaches only truth, there's consistency all the time. So when I work with Eckhart, Eckhart writes by longhand what he would like to have in the book. And let's say there's a certain chapter, and here's the heading. So Eckhart writes on yellow line paper by longhand, and then we meet, and we go over it together. In those days of the Power of Now, my husband's secretary would type it up after we kind of agreed on the wording, and then would go back and review it in typed form. When we did A New Earth, Eckhart would come over every day and sit here in my office, and he would read from his yellow line paper, and I would input, and then we would, you know, work on that together. Now, in terms of how did I contribute as his editor, that's a really good question. I think with Eckhart, I think I'm part of his muse, an inspiration. I think I am a very good sounding board, and he'll say, I'll ask a question about this, that, and he'll say, oh, well, Connie, if you don't understand it, nobody's going to. And then we go back and we rework it. So there's suggestions back and forth. He asks me, I ask him, and once the question's been asked, then it's like we know the answer together almost at the same time, and there's always such oneness and agreement. So do I make suggestions? Yes. Do I suggest this content? Yes. Do I, you know, but I am just playing the role of an editor there. The work itself is, it all comes from Eckhart. So I'm there to kind of, be an editor, kind of a soft editor, let me put it that way. But there's something about our getting together and working together that seems to create a oneness and an inspiration. At least I feel, you know, so inspired by what Eckhart says that I say something and so forth. So it's like that when two or more are gathered. Something happens. When two or more are gathered, you know, it's like when two atoms join and form together, form a molecule. In that joining, there's this high-frequency, laser-like energy that is emitted. So it's lovely, but I cannot give enough credit for all of this to Eckhart. I've played a role, and I've been grateful to do that. And so I would love somebody to ask Eckhart, how has Connie or Constance changed now that I have an AKA? And what role does she play in your work? I'd love that because, that would be very sweet to know. Mm-hmm. So I can only, share from my side. But
Or maybe you can ask him tomorrow. So constantly,
that's interesting because we don't get there. We don't get to that kind of thing. It's whatever is right here and immediate, you know, in where we are or what we're having to deal with. But anyway, yes, Marie?
Well, I wanted to ask you because all of the books that Namaste Publishing has published are kind of an extension of the work of Eckhart Tolle. They're an extension of the power of now. Like you said, the presence process is more of the practical way to get into the experience of presence. And so I'm wondering, with each new book that Namaste does publish, do you send it? I know that often, you know, Eckhart Tolle, I believe, has written a recommendation for Dr. Shefali's new book about conscious parenting, but does he have any input in whether you decide to publish a book or not?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. I told him about the Shefali book because, again, I want to go back to what you say about everything being an extension of Eckhart's teaching. It is and it isn't, but it was prompted by that. My rationale for putting out the series of health books or alternative healing modality books was based on the fact that, you know, unless we deal with our physical issues, unless we honor the physical vehicle and we are healthy enough and we have released, you know, the trauma and have minimized the pain body, how can we possibly be on a level playing field and be open to be moving with the new consciousness that is pressing to emerge on this planet? So I do have books about healing the physical body, healing the psychological wounds, the psyche, that are very accessible today, these healing modalities, benign, gentle, enlightened, timely, all of that. In terms of the Shefali book, well, I had waited a long time for that manuscript to come forward. And again, it was through a phone call. Shefali called me. The same with, I think, almost all of the books I'm looking at the shelf, or through, you know, somebody else who called me about something. Anyway, in terms of the conscious parent, transforming yourself, empowering your children, I was so excited to get that, and Eckhart was so excited to know I was publishing the book, because even in A New Earth, I don't know if it's a chapter heading, it may be a subheading, it's called The Conscious Parent. So from day one, when I would be out, Eckhart was teaching, and I would be listening to the questions, parents, caregivers said, oh, what can you suggest for us to take this teaching to our children? And this request became more frequent and more earnest and almost desperate. And so when this book came forward, I was elated because this was, to me, the new paradigm for parenting, conscious parenting, and that I knew Eckhart would be delighted. Eckhart's not a parent, and so I think maybe his ability to relate to parenting issues that are very kind of real, but he hasn't experienced, like rages during potty training time and, you know, that kind of thing. There we have a person who is a mother, who is a clinical doctor of psychology. She has a great practice. She's traveled around the world. She's worked with all kinds of groups clinically in terms of ages, in terms of culture groups, everything. And she came forward with The Conscious Parent, and there it is. It's an answer to not only my prayer, but I think the prayers of many, many people. And the early reviews and testimonials, it's not even out yet. It's at the printers. It'll ship October 1st. Attest to the fact that this book has been prayed into the world. This book has been prayed into the world. So we're very excited about that. Eckhart loved it. Yes, he gave an endorsement for it, and we have it on the front cover. The Dalai Lama wrote a preface a short preface, very heartfelt, very sweet. He rarely does that, so to have his blessing on the book, to have Marion Williamson supported as well, and many, many others from different fields, it feels, I don't know, it's a gift, but I do think it was prayed into the world. I think we pray these things into being, that there is a consciousness already out there that has a need and is expressing that need, maybe not verbally, but vibrationally and from their heart, and the form then comes, and the form often to people's intentions and prayers and needs will come in what is called a book.
Beautiful. Well, we just have 10 minutes left in the show, so I want to ask you, because this is the latest development from Namaste Publishing, is the Namaste Global Community. So
yes,
when you developed this website at namastepublishing.com, mm-hmm, what was the intent?
Oh, well, my work in the world has expanded. I thought, okay, there were three things that triggered that. That Namaste Global Community, and as a matter of fact, you know, for months we went back and forth. What are we going to call the new site, Namaste Global Community or Namaste Publishing? What's the URL going to be? And it came down to, well, people know us for our publishing, for putting out conscious, leading-edge, transformational material. They don't know us as Namaste Global Community. So we kept with Namaste Publishing as our URL, but the intent was to use our publications and our conscious authors as a base of information for people who wanted to use the World Wide Web as a place to meet in spiritual community. So it was like that my hunger to join a spiritual community prior to my meeting Eckhart had kind of come full circle. And it was like, how do, you know, we reach people? How do we provide a womb, a safe place for people to join in spiritual community using the worldwide technology? We use the web for information gathering, for social networking, for advertising, but why not use it for spiritual community gathering and spiritual community building? And that's what I want to do with Namaste Global Community. If you go to our site and you listen to the welcome message, it's all there. That's the intention. And yet I think it's taking people time to realize that, do you know what, the web can be used this way. We can join in spiritual community. We can dialogue about spiritual issues with one another. We can share our inner lives and assist each other to grow in love awareness. But the three things that prompted me, it was, again, life. It's a setup. It's all a setup. Life sets you up, and then you have to follow through. The first one was that I felt chagrined that we had these wonderful books and wonderful authors, and they weren't being exploited. Now, I mean that in the kindest sense of the word, that they were there, and not many people read about them, knew about them, or were reading them, and not as many as, you know, could benefit and so forth. So there was this frustration that set in about that. We were also having some challenges in the area of distribution that could have been an impediment to movement along that line. It was all good. It forced us to get worldwide first-class distribution, not only in North America, but internationally through Perseus PGW, all good. The next one was a conversation that I would have periodically with my friend Susan, who lives in Victoria Island. She is a brilliant, deep, deep woman, and we're dear friends, and every once in a while we would, in our busy lives, you know, email each other and make an appointment to have a telephone conversation. I can't remember one being under an hour and a half. And one time at the end of it, she said, "Oh, Connie," she said, "to have joined with you this morning like this and to have shared at such a level," she said, "this is priceless." And so I get emails and phone calls and that from people who are just isolated in their spiritual path. They have no one to share things with. And they want to reach out, and their wife doesn't understand them. Their kids think they're crazy. When they go out, none of their friends, you know, want to talk about, but what is real? What are the real issues? Where my heart is, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, if others could be like Susan and I and be able to connect and share as we do. Then the third thing, do I have time for this? Marie?
Yeah?
Do I have time to go into the third thing?
Yes, you do, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I thought that
sounded like more than 10 minutes went by. Well, we were invited, Namaste Publishing, to be part of a major website called My Aware Space. Everyone's familiar with MySpace. My Aware Space would be about gathering people who wanted to join in body, mind, spirit information gathering and sharing. And Namaste Publishing was asked to be one of the portals and perhaps the first portal in to kind of signal to others that may come in what the My Aware Space was really about. So I went to Sedona and I was introduced to people and I went to some meetings there, and I thought, oh, my God, I had no idea what was possible. I had no idea what was possible on the web. And I saw that spiritual community gathering and building and sharing and coming to a realization through that of our spiritual oneness was possible through the web. Oh, I was bitten. So ready to go. Namaste's in. What happens is the financial downturn came quickly. No one else could invest. And I was already there, so I had to just go ahead and do it on my own. And so we birthed, and it was probably at least a 12-month gestation period, a new website with the intent of using conscious material, conscious teachers, inviting others who are aware and spiritual and wanting to contribute to our site to be the basis to draw people to start talking amongst one another and sharing from their own space. As a matter of fact, one of the things we have on our site is my spiritual status. So when people come to the site, you know, how are you doing? Not what are you doing? Are you having tea right now or did you go to a party? But how are you today? How are you today? What's your inner being like today? What does it feel like? And we're in the process now of also relooking at our homepage to make it more community oriented and friendly. But it's all there. It's all there. So
and Facebook.
That's my story. Pardon?
And Namaste Publishing also has a Facebook page.
Yes, and we're finding that is really being used well. So people can come to our site, and what we're finding many of them do, and they follow the blogs, and they follow Journey to Higher Consciousness or Biza's stories, and then they'll go and share it with their friends or, you know, migrate it to their site. And so some of the spiritual conversation and community gathering is taking place off our site, which is absolutely fine as long as it takes place. So we're just finding that. And because of that, we're also giving more of an emphasis to our presence and how we can engage on Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, Constance, we just have a couple minutes left in the show, so I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to add or close with today. Hello? Oh, sorry, I thought I lost you. Last week we were having...
No, I was just thinking, it's like somebody you haven't seen for a while saying, how are things going? And my response is usually, well, be specific. Like, how can I? So I'm canvassing my, you know, I'm just, my radar is like, oh, okay, is there anything I want to say? And if you could have been more specific, I probably could have identified something. But no, nothing authentically is coming up right now, Marie. Thank you. It's been fun being asked these questions and having the opportunity to answer them. I also, if people are interested in finding out more about the Namaste story and our evolution and why we moved to embrace also the service area of Namaste Global Community, there's a one-hour interview with myself on our iStore page, and it's downloadable for free.
Lovely. So, and that's at namastepublishing.com. And so if you just look up the mustard seed?
Yes, then you can get kind of a document. I was asked to tell the story of how Namaste Publishing came into being for a magazine down in California. So I use that copy to also explain to others who inquire. I get that kind of inquiry, you know, quite often, and so it's there. You can point people to it if they want to know more. And then also with the one-hour interview, I think they'll get even more information. And through that, you know, get to know about our other wonderful authors and books, and really stay tuned for the birth of the Conscious Parent into the world, which will be very soon. We're taking pre-orders already from our site, and it ships October 1. It should be in all the stores by the middle of November at the latest.
Wonderful. Well, I see in the chat room, Liz in Sonoma wants to say that she says that this has been the best show, and she wants to thank both of us for our time.
Oh, bless her. Bless you. And namaste. Namaste to you, Marie, to all our listeners and future listeners who will be listening to this in its archival form. Namaste. That's our work in the world.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Constance. I know you have a lot to do managing Namaste Publishing, so I'll let you get on with the rest of your day. But it's been such a pleasure. And I just want to thank you on the air for having me host Namaste Radio. It's been such an honor so far, and I'm enjoying the journey.
Well, if we had a few more minutes, we could share with the listening audience how that came about. And it's, once again, an instance of life bringing us together at the perfect time. So,
well, do you have a few more minutes? I have, I've added a little bit of time to the show just because we've gone about 3 minutes over, but it's a few.
Okay. Well, Marie, it's a lovely opportunity. Marie and one of my daughters were very close friends for many years and still are. And my other daughter, so the daughter that is friends with Marie is Sarah. My other daughter, Mary, was driving home one day in her car listening to a radio program. And it was Synchronicity Radio, and Marie was interviewing someone. And my daughter, Mary, called me and said, "Oh, Mom, I just heard the most amazing show. It's Synchronicity Radio, and the host is Marie Bernard, and you know, they're doing a fundraiser. Mom, you've got to support the show. You've got to support the show." So I, you know, said, if it, you know, she was so excited and so enthusiastic and so affirming of, you know, the quality and how, you know, it was just, you know, something that you want to support, that I said, "Sure." And I said, "Well, how much do you think we should donate?" I said, $250, and she said, $500.
Which I have to say is the biggest donation I've ever had on Synchronicity, so thanks for that.
Okay, and I said, "Okay." So through that, my daughter Mary finds out Maria is our Maria, Sarah's
because
Maria.
I used to go by, Sarah and all of you knew me by Anna.
Right, right. And so it was like, "Oh, my God, Maria is Anna." And we were, and then Mary said, "Oh, Mom, she's so good, you know, and what the kind of interview she does and the people she talks to is just like what we would want if we had a radio program." So one thing led to the other, and here we have wonderful Marie, our host of Namaste Radio. So again, life is a setup. It brings to you everything you need when you need it. The only thing you have to do is to hold you to a pure intention, a noble intention, and life will support you in all that. That's the work. Set your compass to your spiritual true north and keep going there and reaffirming what your purpose is. And if you find a noble purpose, which is one that is really one that is healing for yourself and for others, the universe will move the mountains for you and bring you everything you need when you need it. Easy peasy, as my daughter Mary would say. We've got to keep it easy peasy. And life will do that for you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Constance. Thanks for having me. And I'm so glad that it's just so funny because you guys had no idea that it was me. I was like 14. And now I'm a part of the Namaste family, and it feels really good.
You certainly are. And we love you so much.
Oh, I love you guys, too. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the – I remember when you first were publishing The Power of Now. And, I mean, I was like 14 or 15,
mm-hmm.
somewhere around there. And Sarah was telling me about this book that you were publishing. And I was like, but, okay, where did that come from? Because I didn't know about – I'm like, okay, she's a publisher now, whatever. And I didn't really pay much attention to it because I was 14 and I was kind of wrapped up in 14-year-old
stuff. Yeah.
But it's amazing to see how that has just grown into this global community and really mm-hmm. making so many positive changes and shifts in the world. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to do this work. And everyone who works with Namaste Publishing comes from that same position, that we're just blessed. This isn't work. We are blessed to have the opportunity to affect people for the good and to be vehicles through which presence and more love can come into the world.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I just want to say thank you to you. I love you, Constance, mm-hmm. and thank you to David Ord. He was listening in. I don't know if he's still in the chat room, but David is the author of The Compassionate Eye, except for when we have guest authors, and that, again, is on Namaste Publishing.
And he's the author of Your Forgotten Self,
yes.
which is an outstanding book, and this Renaissance Man is also our editorial director extraordinaire. So
yes,
there
definitely.
You go, David. And that's an understatement. Anything I can say about you is an understatement.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Constance.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Namaste. Be well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you would like to participate with Namaste's global community, go to namastepublishing.com. There are so many ways to interact with Namaste authors as well as other listeners of this show and other members of the Namaste global community. There's a whole slew of blogs. There's the Compassionate Eye, the Sunday blog. Constance has a blog. Dr. Shefali with the Conscious Parents has a blog. There's just such a wealth of information that's coming out almost daily, as well as all of the fabulous archives at namastepublishing.com. So we invite you to go check that out. And of course, it is all free at namastepublishing.com. And the name of the book that is coming out in October is The Conscious Parent. I'm just going to go to namastepublishing.com right now to make sure that I have the exact name of the book, and I will place the link on the chat room. So the name of the book is The Conscious Parent. It is by Dr. Shefali Sabari. And she is a wonderful, wonderful woman. She actually had an interview here. She's been on Namaste Radio twice now. So if you care to go into the archives to to hear what she has to say about conscious parenting. And she also has a blog on namastepublishing.com as well as a Facebook page where she talks about issues that come up with parenting and being a conscious parent. So again, the name of the book is The Conscious Parent, Transforming Ourselves, Empowering Our Children, and it is available on sale, pre-order for $12.99 on namastepublishing.com, and there's a link to it on the main page. So thank you so much for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure. I just really love all of the listeners and everyone who participates in the chat room each week and who all of the people who come to the Facebook page and namastepublishing.com. I just want to send my love and appreciation out to you, because you are what we're here for. We are here to bring positive change and growth to the world. And I know that all of you listening are also doing the same thing with just your being and your presence. And when you are present, it makes it casts ripples out into the world, and it affects so many more in a positive way. So we really, truly love you. Thank you so much for listening. Be well. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.